Jim Jeffords was raised privileged. His father was the Chief Justice of the Vermont Supreme Court. His marriage to the Republican Party was one of class convenience arranged in the 1960s. Doors were open for him in a way that were never open for Philip Hoff or Bernie Sanders, or nearly any other politician of his era. These doors were opened by Republicans. Yet the first time he was denied an opportunity he wanted, the Republican nomination for governor in 1972, he didn't take it well. In fact, he acted like a spoiled child. George Bush Jr. did not end Jeffords' marriage to the GOP. Jim ended it himself in 1972, but he refused to leave the House. When I look at Jeffords now, I see a certain sadness, like a partner that stayed in a bad marriage too long, bickering with a political party he didn't even like. When he finally left that marriage, it was when he could do his party the greatest possible harm, and when an immensely attractive, seductive new partner was waiting for him, in the form of his own committee chairmanship, the romance of national attention earlier undreamed of, and the adoration of a state that likes independents, liberals, and Democrats, and doesn't like conservatives and oil men from Texas. "Don't mess with Vermont," say the bumper stickers. We recast Jeffords in the image of ourselves, rugged individualism born on America's northern frontier of long ago. Jeffords went along with it, of course. But Vermont is as much about community as it is about individualism. Our state motto is, after all, freedom and unity. Like frontier persons everywhere, we appreciate togetherness and the tolerance born of a shared fate. Rather than as an act of defiant individualism, consider Jeffords' act as John Margolis described it in the Wall Street Journal. It was, he wrote, quote, "evidence of the persistence of an old tradition and of how much he and Vermont still depend on it, an attitude that cherishes restraint, civility, tolerance, and compromise," end quote. A longing for this Vermont tradition, the tradition of unity, which is so lacking in Washington on both sides of the aisle, is the context in which I would prefer to interpret Jeffords' behavior. In this context of history, his policy excuses, from education to agriculture, for divorcing the party in 2001 simply don't wash. It is difficult to imagine Jeffords getting less mileage out of George Bush Jr. than he did from the far more conservative and far less personally engaging Republican president Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. But as the century turned, Jim Jeffords was much older, and he was tired, and he was sick of the game. He longed to set himself right with his world. There are much worse longings than these. Senator Jeffords, hero or opportunist? Probably a little of both, somewhere in the middle. And that's where Senator Jeffords likes to be. This is Frank Bryan of Starksboro.